was on a mission. Not just to get that job done so I can have a rest sort of a mission. No, for John was on a mission from God, with a capital M and a capital G. John was a messenger, and his mission to be the messenger was given to him before he was born. Astonishing as it may seem, John was a miracle baby. Now, to look at him as a man, you'd find that hard to believe. John was a bit wild, a bit unkempt. He neither lived in a house nor had a regular job like a carpenter or a merchant or even a priest. John lived out in the wilderness. He was a bit of a scavenger, really, but now, well, John's mission was coming into effect. He had prayed and prayed. He'd learned all he could about God's plan, God's great scheme to save the world, and John was honoured to be a part of it. He knew the big secret. He knew that God's promise to send a saviour was about to come true. And he, John, was sent to get the people ready. And oh boy, they needed it. John had spent many years in the wilderness, and during that time, people had not got any better. They needed someone to point them back to God's ways. They needed someone to tell them to change, to turn around. And this was his task. To persuade people to repent, to tell them to get ready for the Messiah, to make them right with God again, and to be made clean. What they needed was to be purified, washed, and renewed. So here he was walking the Jordan region, never far from the river, and people were coming to listen and to respond. Every day John was telling them all about God's plan. And every day the people repented, turned around, and came to be washed clean in the River Jordan, to be baptized. This day had begun like every other day. The people came, John talked and John prayed. And then they came down to the water for him to wash away their sins and to be made new, ready for the coming of the Lord. The day may have begun like any other, but it did not end that way. In amongst the crowd was a Nazarene, a guy from up north. And when he saw him, John stopped in his tracks. Deep in his heart, in his gut, he felt a surging. It was not the first time he'd felt that way. The first time had been 30 years ago. 30 years. But as soon as he felt it, he knew. Just as an infant in his mother's womb had leapt in recognition, John's heart leapt again. This was the man. Not just a carpenter from Nazareth, this was the man. At first, John was having none of it. I can't baptize you. I'm not worthy to touch you, to teach you. You don't need this. I need it from you. Cousin, I can't do this. His voice trailed off as Jesus looked him in the eye. It's okay, John. It's okay. For now we do as we do. It's time for fulfillment. It's time for righteousness. Come, take me down to the water, wash me, bless me. So John, son of Elizabeth and Zechariah, baptized Jesus, son of Mary and Joseph. And as he did, heaven opened, and rejoiced and sang and praised God. For this was the beginning of the end of the beginning. This start of God's plan coming to fruition. And from heaven, for those who saw it, there was not just the heavenly chorus. There came a dove, the Spirit himself, a voice in the breeze. Here is my son. God was in that moment. God in Father Creator, in Son Saviour, in Spirit Breath. And those who had eyes to see and ears to hear were witnesses to the start of something big. This was a big moment. One of the few places in the Bible where Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are revealed together. God acknowledges Jesus. Jesus submits to God's purpose and is empowered by the Holy Spirit. In Matthew's Gospel, we read that the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus like a dove. And that has significance. Doves feature heavily in the stories of the Old Testament. The book of Leviticus explains that temple sacrifices were graded according to income, and the dove being at the lower end of the scale, and so accessible to the meek and lowly. As God anoints Jesus, he is identified with the people of Israel. As the Holy Spirit empowers him, the symbolism of the dove reveals that the focus of his ministry is particularly towards the most vulnerable in society. In seeking baptism, Jesus signals his willingness to follow the path that God sets before him. And providing such wonderful affirmation in the words, "This is my own dear son," spoken from heaven. God himself provides Jesus with the promise of his pleasure and the assurance of his love. Our own baptisms are the start of something big. Many, if not most of you here this morning, have been baptized, but not all will have. Some of us here were baptized as infants and will remember very little, if anything, about that day. Others of you may have been baptized as adults. Some Christian traditions don't do infant baptisms, whereas others, like us in the Church of Scotland, we do. Because baptism is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Our understanding of baptism is that during the act, God is present through the Holy Spirit. And it's why in the Church of Scotland, we see it along with Holy Communion as the only two sacramental acts. Again, other traditions, particularly the Anglican and Roman Catholic traditions, have a differing view. And they have a number of other sacraments that they celebrate. But baptism is one that they share with us. And your baptism should be recognised by all churches. Certainly, if you've been baptised outside the Church of Scotland, we recognise your baptism. In our baptisms, no matter the tradition we belong to, we are locked in ourselves with a relationship with the Trinity, and we become one of the desires and dreams of God. The dreams that he has for us, our children, and his kingdom on earth. In baptism, we are set on a course that for the rest of our lives is about fulfilling. As with Jesus, God promises us the assurance of his love. Jesus' own baptism happens at the very beginning of his ministry. Up until this point, Jesus has grown up from the infant that we welcome on Christmas morning to the young man trained in his father's trade of carpentry. He was on the face of it an ordinary young man, but the ordinary was about to become extraordinary. Before I went on holiday, we spent a number of weeks considering what it means to be church. Today we celebrate in little William's baptism one of our two sacraments, and next week we celebrate the other one as we gather round the Lord's table for Holy Communion. A wonderful way for me personally to begin after a holiday. It's like the beginning of a new term, the brand new jotter with its clean, crisp pages. In William's baptism, we are reminded of the fresh start to those who came to that river in Jordan received. And we are reminded of the new beginning, the fresh start offered in our baptisms, God offering us a new beginning and a place in his church. In Jesus' baptism, God is heard to say, "This is my own dear son with whom I am pleased." In our baptisms, God is present and offers the same blessing to us. He looks on us and says, "This is my own dear daughter or son with whom I am pleased." He takes our ordinariness and makes us extraordinary. He takes us and makes us his children. He takes each one of us and loves and cherishes us, making us not just ordinary, but extraordinary. You've probably never thought of yourselves as that, have you? "Who, me?" you might be saying. "But I'm just me, nothing special," you might be thinking. But to God, you are unique. You are beautiful, precious, and beloved. God sees in you a beloved son or daughter, a precious child. That's what makes you extraordinary. God makes you extraordinary. And we have no hand in being a child of God. It's all in his will that we become his precious, beloved children. And God's love is special. A quote I often share at weddings comes from one of my favourite books, Captain Corelli's Mandolin. In the story set on the beautiful island of Kefalonia, Pelagia, one of the main characters, goes to her father to ask him for some advice about love. And he tells her this: when you fall in love, it is a temporary madness. It erupts like an earthquake and then it subsides. And when it subsides, you have a decision to make. You have to work out whether your roots are to become so entwined together that it is inconceivable that you should ever part. Because that is what love is. God's love for us is entwined in our roots, whether we know it or not, whether we want it or not. And in our baptism, we are once and for all entangled in that love. And to God, it is inconceivable that we should ever part from his love. The scope of God's love for his people is beyond comprehension. God loves each of us and shows us such grace in doing so. Because even in our most unlovely moments, God loves us. The challenge for us is to be able to demonstrate that love in our own lives. And boy, that can be hard. In a wee while, I will take William in my arms and baptize him into the family of God. I will look at his sweet face, a baby boy, yet to understand the world around him, yet to know what the world has in store for him. For the moment, all he knows is the love of his family and the security of his mummy and daddy's arms. How wonderful if we could all have his innocent world view. But alas, we don't. We know that the world is a complicated place, that not everyone experiences life in the ways that are easy. Not everyone has easy choices to make. Not everyone has the security of a loving home. And not everyone has all they need to live full and healthy lives. It's heartbreaking to witness some of the evil in our world. And so all the more important to be reminded of the love of God for his people, the love of God for each of us, a love demonstrated in the life and witness of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Today we celebrate William's new beginning as part of God's family, hearing the story of Jesus' own baptism and hearing the words, "This is my own dear Son with whom I am pleased." And I hope when you heard those words, you hear God's voice saying afresh to you, "Here is my own dear child with whom I am pleased." Eugene Peterson, in the Message and interpretation of Jesus' baptism, puts it so beautifully. He writes, "The moment Jesus came up out of the baptismal waters, the skies opened up and he saw God's Spirit. It looked like a dove descending and landing on him. And along with the Spirit, a voice: this is my Son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life." You are God's children, chosen and marked by God's love, delight of God's life, with this love entwined in the roots of your very being. Know it, own it, and live it. Amen.